Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of the Dr. Nurse Podcast. Today, we're going to be chatting with Amy Felix. She's a nurse with over 18 years of nursing experience, a graduate of the Pennsylvania School of Nursing with a bachelor's in 2004 and a master's in 2008. She's skilled in providing exemplary care to pediatric patients in the hospital, acute and outpatient settings, including the intensive care units, outpatient subspecialties, and emergency medicine. She's passionate about quality improvement in healthcare, nurses' well-being, leadership development, and diversity in nursing. Currently on sabbatical to reinvigorate her passion for nursing through blogging and leading her startup tech company called Track CE. Guys, she comes onto the podcast today to really describe why she took a sabbatical, how she took a sabbatical, and what it has done for her career. And the reason why I think this is so important and cool to discuss is because I think this might be a key to burnout that allows nurses to still work in the thing that called them to nursing without becoming burned out, and to take these breaks to either explore side hustles, to either find other passions, and just take a break from pouring into people like we do at our jobs. I hope you enjoyed the episode. Again, check her out. All her links are in the show notes. Yeah, just explore what she has to say. Keep your mind open to the idea. And I'd love to hear what you guys are thinking about what she's doing. So guys, enjoy the episode. Dr. Nurse Podcast fam, welcome to another episode of the Dr. Nurse Podcast. Guys, today we have on the show Amy Felix. She is a nurse with over 18 years of experience, including critical care, outpatient, ambulatory, and leadership. And she is going to come on and talk to us a little bit today about her journey, kind of what she's been doing with her career, and how she's kind of metamorphosed her career into now really advocating for nurses to take care of themselves. And I just think it's such a neat thing. She's also developed an app. We're going to get into all of that today on the podcast, guys. Welcome, Amy, to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And so for those of you that aren't watching on YouTube, she's like super gorgeous. So we're just like happy to have you on. I'm just really happy. I love your hair. Like, I'm a little biased, but it's fine.
You know, from one curly to the next, I completely get it.
I'm just loving it. All right. So again, I've kind of briefly introduced you. Tell my listeners kind of what it is that you're doing right now. We'll dive into kind of how you got to where you are, but just tell my listeners kind of how you see yourself.
Sure. So especially as we're, you know, talking about 2023, I really truly see myself right now as an entrepreneur. And sometimes I use the term as nurse entrepreneur because the work that I'm doing kind of encompasses so many different things. And yeah, as a nurse entrepreneur slash innovator, that's how I see myself right now.
So tell me a little bit about what you have been working on, some of the projects that you're heading up and leading in your career. And these are just kind of the major ones, your two major buckets, at least. I think you have at least two. But if you have even more, just break into all the different areas that you're
So the things that I'm working on is, first, I am the sole founder of the Nurse Sabbatical Movement, which inspires nurses to take career breaks so that they can restore themselves and do their best work and find joy in the work they do. Secondly, I am the co-founder and CEO of Track CE, which is a mobile application that supports nurses and doctors managing their renewals and for their licenses and certification. And then lastly, I am doing some contract work on the side, working with a startup tech company called Burnout Anticipation Technologies, which focuses on anticipating burnout in different units and hospitals.
That is so cool. So in that last role, are you working as kind of like a consultant? Like, hey guys, these are the signs. And if you're seeing this, you're about to lose a bunch of your staff.
Exactly. So it's an amazing company that's just getting off the ground. We're kicking off this year with using different hospitals to try out the model. It uses technology app, which I love technology, and really looks at different areas to see where can we anticipate burnout and not just prevent it. So this is a hotspot area. How do we start getting into these spaces and do almost like a rapid response to make sure that we prevent burnout from happening? So it's really from the spectrum of before we even happens, let's figure out how to deal with it.
Oh my gosh. So I love that.
And because you remember, I don't know if you remember this, but if whenever I worked in the hospital, we used to have this system where we would type in your vital signs. It was called like the Muse. We would type in the vital signs, and then it would tell us if a patient was like on the way down, like the patient was crashing, right? And so you used to type it in, and then every shift would get like a Muse score. So the Muse score would be like 10 or 5 or whatever, and like correlated with, okay, I think he's getting really sick. So before the patient crumps and then we're trying to do CPR and code blue and all this other stuff, there might be little tiny indicators that the patient's not doing well. So I think that's what it sounds like. What you're describing to me is like an a Muse score for nurses that are on the way out. They're on the burnout route.
Exactly. And really trying to help see how we can help institutions use that information to help retain nurses. How do they make in the moment changes to support not even just the nurses, but also the leaders who are leading the nurses? So I'm really excited about that project.
That's so cool. Mm-hmm. So Amy, tell me a little bit about how you got here in your career. I mean, take me through as you've been working as a nurse and you've 8 years of experience. You graduated with your bachelor's in 04 and then your master's in, I have 09 or 08?
08.
Okay, because I think whenever we typed 2009-08. And so I was like, I don't know which one it is. Okay.
Which one?
Yeah. So 2008. So you finished your master's in 2008 and you've been just kind of working. I remember when we talked before the podcast, you were like, I was just cranking. But you were mostly working in pediatrics, I think.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. So kind of bribe to my listeners, kind of what led you to this point where you're like, all right, I can't do this anymore. Like, I can't keep climbing the corporate ladder. Take me through your story and your journey.
Sure. So I think my story has been unique to me, and I'm so glad for the journey and all the experiences that I've had. I've always wanted to take care of kids. That's always been my passion, and I've always wanted to help people. And so in the work that I started doing, you know, my first role was a bedside nurse in a PICU, 55 beds, level one trauma center, the hardest of the hardest, and I loved it. I call it almost like it was boot camp. If people talk about military, this was boot camp because people were crashing, they were dying, they were living. Like, it was an amazing time. Within that space, I always knew I wanted to make more of a difference. And I think that's what's driven most of my decisions. And so when I decided to go back and become a nurse practitioner, it was obvious that I wanted to have more of a say or a seat at the table in making decisions for parents, for patients and parents. And so within that, I did my NP and did outpatient GI, which was like completely different, right? From care to, you know, working outpatient ambulatory with guts and poop and all that great stuff, right?
Yeah.
And people were like, are you crazy? Like, GI patients are crazy. But I knew I wanted a different experience. I was feeling a little bit fatigued from taking care of the really sick patients and really just was open to the experience. And within that frame, like, I got to learn so much stuff and really use my skill set as a nurse, as I was the nurse, the NP, you know, the social worker, the care coordinator, and kept finding certain things that I love to do and was passionate about it kind of thrive in that realm. But lo and behold, after 6 years, GI just wasn't the thing anymore. And I went to the emergency department, which kind of was like the bread and butter of pediatrics. Again, an amazing time, learned a lot. And leadership opportunities presented itself, right? So you think about the ladder, right? People tell you, okay, as a nurse, you can become an NP or, you know, do research, or you could go into admin. And never in the world did I think I would do admin. Like, I remember walking into the job the first year and meeting with my boss for a one-to-one. And I told her, I could never do what you do. Like, thank you for doing it. But little did I know 5 years later, I would be in her job, right? So it goes to show that you never know what will happen. And I found myself in leadership after doing a lot of clinical work and saying, I want to make a difference. I want to have a seat at the table. I want to cater for my workforce. The NP workforce, if you think about it in a unit, is so small compared to physicians and nurses. So how can I truly tell them what's happening with our team? And so I did leadership for about 5 years, and it was a great experience. You know, people find their passion in maybe cardiology, in, you know, endocrine, diabetes. It never was a thing for me. It was always like, oh, this is kind of cool. I like learning about it. But when I got into leadership and leading people and helping people do great work, I found myself light up. You know, COVID happened. I became exhausted. The demands on the role was just do more, do more, do more with less time. And I felt burned out, right? Like, I was losing sleep. I had headaches. I had migraines. I was breaking out. I felt like I had no energy and time for the things that I loved. And even when I went on vacation, it still didn't feel like I would recover. I'd come back and be like, here we go again. And so I decided one day, I was like, you know, I could look for another job, which is what typically people do. But instead, I think I want to take a break. And I'm going to call it a sabbatical because, you know, physicians get it and they work clinically. Priests get it. I mean, clergy get it. Different institutions are offering it. And even McDonald's offers it. So like, why can't we as nurses, the most trusted profession in the United States, take breaks? So I think my sabbatical has truly led me to all these various roles that I'm doing now and really focusing on self-care, supporting nurses and inspiring them to do their best work while taking care of themselves, and that it is compatible.
Yeah. So what did the sabbatical look like for you? Because I think that is so interesting. Again, what you said, priests who pour into people, right? Like they come, they serve, they have a lifetime, excuse me, of service. Newsflash, nurses, that's all that we do is serve people. We actually serve them at the bedside. We're like right alongside their hardest times and their hardest journeys. Why don't we get sabbaticals? And sabbaticals, from what I've known, and again, this might be a listener might be like, okay, what is a sabbatical? But it's just this time where you just take a break and you just get alone and you get quiet and you just kind of listen to what your soul is saying. So what did a sabbatical look like for you? And then what did you walk away from that sabbatical with?
Exactly. So Sandra, you defined it correctly. And while people might look at my story and say that it wasn't necessarily sabbatical because I literally quit my job, but I will talk a little bit more about that afterwards. My sabbatical really was to take 3 months off to rest. Like I knew I was burned out. I wanted to just quiet my mind. I wanted to sleep in, maybe take a vacation on a beach and really just refocus on my healing. Let my life work out, meditate, and not be disturbed by the constant noises of a ding, Microsoft Teams, meetings, nonstop. Eat a real meal and not rush to do so in front of a computer while typing patient notes. Like the little things that we take for granted. And so for the first 3 months, that's what I did. I did nothing. People would say, you're on your couch. And I was like, yes, it's great to be on my couch and not having to focus on the next 50 things that I have to do. However, 3 months, I was like, you know, by the second month, I said, oh, I'll start looking for a job, but I wasn't ready. I wasn't healed yet. And so within
4 to 5 months. How did you know that? How'd you know you weren't ready?
I was still tired. And every job that I looked at, I mean, I was looking at raw jobs because I was saying to my, you know, once I take this break, I'm ready to get back out there. I'm ready to fight the cause, but nothing brought joy to me. Every job that I've ever taken in my life, I've been excited about. Every single one. There was nothing that was calling me to say the next step. Now, I do believe in God, and I would say maybe there's a spiritual portion to this where he was like, that's not it. But for me in those moments, I, knowing that no job was appealing, I realized I needed more time. And so I took more time.
That's incredible. I love that. So with your time that you took, excuse me, what were the questions you asked yourself? What were the little quiet moments and the whispers that you heard from your soul? I hear that you said you were tired. What is something that you began to go, what does bring me joy? I mean, these are questions you had to ask yourself. How did you explore what was going to be the thing that you would jump back into the workforce for?
Yeah. So I think it was multiple modalities. So I will say and really do support nurses or anybody really talking to a therapist or seeking counseling, because I think we see so much in our career that also helped me transition to this space. So I will definitely say that was part of my journey. Part of it was thinking about what are the skill sets that I enjoy the most in the work that I do, or what are the skill sets that I do effortlessly that bring me joy, which is mentorship, talking about well-being, supporting nurses, right? So anything in that framework. And then how did I see myself wanting to work? So it's not just the role. What did I want my day-to-day to look like? Do I want 10-hour days? Do I want 12-hour days? Did I want to be on a, you know, device all of the time? And I realized those things didn't resonate with me anymore. Being busy, the excitement of walking into the hospital did not resonate with me. I realized I wanted flexibility. I wanted to do my best work, but be able to create and innovate without restrictions.
So what came to the surface? I mean, what was it that you walked away from this sabbatical, like rip roaring ready to do?
Yeah. So I think two things really surfaced. In the midst of prior to me leaving my role, I had been working on this app because I really got frustrated with the process of renewing my 3 licenses and my 2 certifications. And I was like, this is ridiculous. Copying pieces of paper, putting them in file folders. So my co-founder and I, Dr. Rajas Iyer, had formed this company called TrackC, where we wanted to create an app to do so. But you know, when you're kind of working on a passion project and it's there and it's like, oh, we're slowly building it. And so in April of last year, when I was ready to say, okay, I'm going to find a job, the app was ready to go on the market. And I was like, wait, like that wasn't part of my plan, right? But I was like, here's this great opportunity. Let's put it out there for free and see what happens. So we did. And we started getting some traction. And then within a week or two, I entered my first pitch competition. Now, I can tell you, I may have watched a few episodes of Shark Tank. I come from a healthcare background. I know how to do budgets, but pitching, like, what is it? And so I entered my first pitch competition in the city of Philadelphia against 9 other companies and got 3rd place. And we won $10,000. And I think it was like, ding, ding, ding. This is where you're supposed to be. It's going to feel rocky. It's completely different than you've ever done, but you're still helping people using your nursing skills in a different way. And I think those were the signs that told me you're entering an entrepreneurship lane and you're really going to create this whole new thing that's different. And that's okay.
That is so inspiring. I mean, like, honestly, it makes my hair stand up on end. It's just so cool because, again, like what you were saying about hearing and knowing from something higher. Now, for me, again, that's God too. Like, he does direct us if we quiet ourselves and we allow him to, and we get so busy in the hubbub of everyday work. And we just think about the paycheck and the stability. And we talk about faith, we talk about having faith. And yet when we're asked to step out in faith and do the scary thing, we're like, no, that's so scary. That's not secure. I can't do that. And so you're just like, I got faith, but like, you know, it's just, you know, it's like a shaky faith. I mean, I'm there, right, but I'm not like 100%. And so like what you're describing is just like stepping out in faith and just being like, okay, wait, like, what does this look like? I'm taking a bet on me. Mm-hmm. And what I'm, you know, able to accomplish and what I'm able to push myself to and the limits that I'm able to do, or at least the limits I'm able to extend myself to. And so I think that is so, I think it's just so neat that you were able to step into that, really out of that. And even though you were looking for a job, you were looking to do that thing that we always do, is to get back in the rat race and to get back in the boat and row the boat. Something told you, no, wait, listen, wait, wait, wait. And we're so busy rushing all the time that it is so good that you spent that time and you were able to hear yourself. Mm-hmm. And you just seem like you're just living in what is what you're passionate about. So yeah, tell me a little bit about what you've done with the, excuse me, with the sabbatical thing. Cause I know that you were telling me you've been encouraging other nurses, right? So you've got Track CE that's making, I guess I'm assuming it's like a subscription service. You sign up, you get the service.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So we're in the beginning phases of developing it. It was running on its like initial version, which we call the minimal viable product. And then we plan to hopefully launch this year as a paid subscription in collaboration with state boards. So hopefully that system or process can be more automated.
That's so cool. And then the sabbatical experience and that whole thing has made you go, hey, listen, I think more nurses need this. And that's launched another side hustle thing that you've been a part of. Tell me a little bit about that.
Exactly. So really and truly, it was more of me just blogging to say, hey, this is my experiences. These are the things that I've been feeling. Is there anyone else feeling it? But as I started sitting with it more, I was like, I want to help other people. And people have reached out to me and say, hey, like, are you still on sabbatical? Like, what did you do? I had, you know, other people who also left the similar role to me and took a month off. Like, it doesn't have to be a long period of time. And they just felt rejuvenated. I had people who questioned, like, I want to leave my role, but I'm not sure. And I was like, well, you can do all these things. Don't worry about the money, but you can make a different lifestyle for yourself, because nursing is truly a great profession and you can do anything you want. We just have to be reminded to use those skills to do as such. So I'm really excited that this year I'm going to be launching a course to support nurses with some group coaching on how to do their own sabbatical and use their skill set to rediscover their passion for nursing and find roles that really are, you know, suitable to the lifestyle they want to lead. So look out for more information. And that comes this February.
That's so cool. So what are some of the goals that you have for the sabbatical course that you're going to launch?
Thanks for listening to the episode. I hope you're enjoying the conversation. I wanted to take this time and remind you to check out the Success NP Etsy shop. It's a shop that I design with my best girlfriend, cute nurse practitioner gear, hats, bags, anything you could think of, as well as adorable digital products, mom life stuff, so resources for nurses to come. We're just excited about our shop. It's another way to support the podcast and to get really cool gear. Check it out and be sure to tell your friends about the podcast as well as the Etsy shop if you'd like. And what I'm building here, any promotion, any sharing helps build my audience and I greatly appreciate it. Now, let's get back to the episode.
So really and truly to hopefully inspire 50 nurses to take a career break and refocus how they want to work and how they want to live. And, you know, my big goal, which is not this year, is really to get a sabbatical program within an institution that is sponsored so that nurses, you know, so many times we're denied vacation, can take a month off and rest and come back refreshed to do the work that they love.
Yeah.
That's my big goal.
Yeah, that would be really cool. And again, just even if that was something that we could do every year, I think that we would probably retain more nurses where we could have the coverage to step out, right? Because we're in this nursing shortage. And I can imagine institutions just being like, oh my gosh, how are we going to let a nurse take a month off? We're already short. Hey, you're already short because you don't let nurses do this. So if you allow nurses to have the break, to have the space, to have the time to go, I have the next month off. I get to just think and create. And because I believe we're creative people. Like I believe something inside of us. When you think about biblically, we're from a creator who created the world in 7 days, right? Like that was his job. He spent 7 days. He created the world. He spent the last day of rest. If the God of the universe needs a day of rest, you don't think you do? So one thing I love about it is that he shows, I love creating. Yep. And then I also need rest. Right?
Exactly.
And so those are two themes that we get from the Bible that are very clear on how we should live our life, which again, I'm not saying we can't work in institutions and systems that are already created for us. That's not wrong. But I do believe that there is something in all of us that desires or is something that's been implanted in us for us to build, for us to make, because we all have a contribution to make in this world. One of the things I noticed as well, and I was telling my husband this, and my poor husband, he probably thinks I trip super hard on stuff, but I noticed that in toddlers shows, which I know I let my kid watch TV. I'm sure people will be up in arms about that, but yeah, I let him watch TV. And I monitor what it is, but I noticed they all talk about being a hero. All of them, you know, Spider, he's a hero. Yeah. PJ's the heroes, and it's always the heroes and the villains, right? And I was thinking about it, and I was like, why are all the shows for kids based on the same premise? And I think it's because there's something within us that wants to change the world, contribute, to be this thing that's like, I did that. Like, I made that. And so I think that same childlike desire is on all of us, but we suppress it with pills, with bills, with, you know, obligations, with all the things that we think are things we're supposed to be doing. And yet that child still stays in there and is like, I want to, like, what am I meant to do? Like, am I meant to be Spider-Man? Am I meant to be Gecko from PJ Masks? Like, what is it that I'm supposed to do that's my role as, you know, the hero in my own journey and my own story. So I think it's something that I've been looking at and I've been wondering, like, what is that? And then how do we apply that ourselves as adults? Because I'm starting to realize that toddlers are just uninhibited adults and it's wonderful. It's sometimes really tough, but it's also super wonderful to watch because you just realize, like, I'm either tired, I need to eat food, or, you know, like there's just certain things that really don't change about the way that we are. But yeah, I think that is something that I think is very interesting. Anyway, this might be a huge aside, but let's chat again, keeping on task here. What was one aspect of business that you have found challenging to overcome? And then one aspect that you felt like your nursing skills helped you in navigating?
I think just understanding business. Like I said, I'm purely from a nursing background. I have no idea about marketing and different terms and technology. Like, we understand technology from our standpoint, but it could be very scary when, you know, you're learning a business or even how to build it and the forms and everything you have to figure out. And I was nervous. I was like, am I really doing this? Like, am I doing the right thing? But then if you think about nursing, right? Like, when we go to school, we get all the books that tell us, okay, these are the things you do. And it's what prepares us for when the patient's in front of you, because things are always going awry. And, you know, through my career, I've transitioned to different specialties so many times that starting new, afresh, and learning something new is not the first time, and it's not going to be the last time. So going with that same mindset that it's not going to be perfect, but I'm going to learn it as I go and get better is really what's helped me get this far. And especially in talking to people, I feel like as nurses, we talk to so many people all the time that even today, my friends are like, everywhere you go, you meet people. And I was like, don't you talk to people? Right. But I realized that's my special ad. That's my gift. Right. And I just share it with others. So I think that's really helped me. That's my superpower. That's how I've found people to help support me as I've moved into entrepreneurship.
Yeah, that's really good. And then what is something that you felt like was a natural, and again, that's by what you're saying. My natural ability is I was a nurse, and so I'm able to just go into the room and talk to complete strangers and feel very comfortable. Yeah. And then the part is I don't really know business and I don't really understand these things. And so it's something new every day, but it's something challenging, which is nice, right? I mean, that's that plasticity that nurses, I think, have to have a lot of because we aren't specialized. Whereas physicians, you know, they perfect in their little area, right? Urology or GI, and they get really, really specific and they niche down really, really well. But nurse practitioners have the options of walking into a GI clinic and taking patients and walking into a urology clinic. And we can just be really flexible, which, you know, again, is more challenging. But again, that neuroplasticity that we've got to then use, it can actually translate into, hey, you need to learn business. And however you learn it, either through a course or through a mentor or through asking or whatever, might take you a little bit longer, but you'll get there. It's just going to take some time. So exactly. I think that's really, really neat. And if you could talk to a nurse that's burned out, she's exhausted. I want a sabbatical. That sounds great. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. I think there was this John Crist. He's a comedian, but he did this act where he said he was in rehab because he had some issue. And so he went to rehab and he called his friends and he told his friends, I'm in rehab and mm-hmm. they have children. So she was like, he's like, yeah, he was complaining. He's like, they make my food for me and I just have to like go and like meditate and like, I just gotta like be quiet and I can't like, you know, whatever. And I'm always outside. And the wife was like, can I go to rehab? Like, that sounds wonderful. Like, and so it was just really funny, like skit, but I was just thinking like, you know, what if there was a nurse that's like, listen, I want a sabbatical. Like, that sounds great. What would be one of the things that you would tell her to do or to start in order to maybe get her doing a sabbatical?
I would say, number one, first of all, believe that it's possible. Like I never, and I think it might be the Taurus in me, the word no doesn't really exist. If it's no this time, it's find another way because anything is possible. And then secondly, I would say, understand your why. Like I think I knew what I wanted from it, why I needed to do it. But I think once you understand that it's possible and why you want to do it, everything else can fall into line, right? Your why drives you. Your why fulfills your purpose. And it helps you in the moments when you have doubt, fear that you can do this thing. Yeah. So those are the first two things that I would say that you should.
Yeah. Because I would imagine like, you know, again, if most Americans are living paycheck to paycheck, then mm-hmm. how do you just break away from your job for 2 months or whatever?
Right.
I'm sure you just were like during your work hours, you just like put money away. You're like, I know this is what I'm doing. So I'm going to prepare. I'm going to build the nest, I guess.
Well, yeah. And I think there are two different ways you do it. I've met someone recently who just really told their boss that, and I think I had this option that I'm really exhausted and I need time off. And they were able to get a month off from work, right? So it's really, if you think about it right now, it is the nurse's world. You can decide how you want to do things. People may look at you differently. They may talk about you like, how dare he or she do this? But really and truly, you can design it how you want it to be done. So there are some people who have taken paid. There's some people who have done vacation time in order to get it. For me, like I said, I needed to break free completely. And I was lucky enough that, you know, I came off the year of the pandemic where I was able to save a lot of money because I wasn't able to travel. I paid off my student debt. And so I was debt free. And I was like, I can afford to put money into me.
Ooh.
I can afford to do this. Right. And reading books like The Psychology of Money, time is money. Right. And money buys you freedom. And that's what my savings did. And having a strategic plan, like looking at, you know, your sick time, your paid vacation and all of that. And you just live differently. Like, and not to say that I have not been traveling in the, you know, the way that I normally am accustomed to, but certain things I didn't need anymore. Like I didn't have to buy lunch 5 days a week. Why? Because I could make food. And it was like, great. Like at 12 o'clock noon, I'm cooking lunch for myself instead of ordering from Grubhub that would take an hour. Those were the benefits for me.
Yeah, that is so well said. And then if you could go back and tell yourself one thing at the beginning of your career that you would say, Amy, I want you to hold on to this piece of advice, what would you tell that young Amy? And what is a piece of advice that you would tell her? This is garbage. Don't listen to it. So a piece of advice that she needs to hold close to her heart for the rest of her career. And then one piece of advice that you tell her, this is garbage. Toss it.
I think the one piece of advice I would tell her is that your path is going to look different and it's okay. I think, you know, coming up as a young nurse and starting with other people in the ICU, you're always watching your peers to see how far are they scaling. I remember the first time that one of my peers was charge nurse after 2 years, and I'm like, I'm just as good. Why can't I be charge nurse? And then advocated for that and always trying to be on that same level, right? And there are probably many reasons for that as I like push myself to be the best that I could be. But understanding that my path looking different than others, and that's okay because it's still going to get me to where I want to be. So I would say that would be the one thing that I would tell my younger self. The second question was,
what is the piece of advice you would tell her if somebody comes to you and says this to you? This is not true. Don't believe it. This isn't true.
It isn't true. You have to work this hard all the time.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one.
You have to work this hard. Yeah, you have to work this hard all the time. I think, you know, I'm also kind of like this anti-hustle culture. I'm over it and I'm not about it. I'm not about checking emails on 4 different devices every single hour to make sure I'm super aware. I think that it's important for quiet time, as we discussed before. I think it's important for silence, and you can still get the work done. But yeah, that would be my one piece of advice.
Yeah, because when you think about it, again, going back to a similar concept we were discussing about, you know, how the Lord built the world. Like, that's not a small project. It's not. He did that in 7 days, right? And then he spent time for rest. And so I just find it ironic that he spent 1/7 of the time of the week in rest and absolutely doing nothing, which again, it doesn't describe what he was doing, but he was resting, whatever that looks like to you. And it wasn't a legalistic thing. I think it's just the way that nature needs it to be. Like, you can't just keep going. And you do feel that way. You do. I mean, we run low on sleep. We don't take our time to eat. There's a lot of literature out there on taking your time when you're eating to step away from the work and go sit outside and eat. I find in my clinical space right now that I don't even have time to go sit outside and eat. I have to be at the desk writing notes because if I'm not there, I'm going to be there late. And so that little 30 minutes, what were you going to say?
No, please don't finish.
No. That was it. That was all I was going to say. It's awful. It's awful.
No, it's awful. So I think, you know, really how I got started in this well-being work is that I was the manager of almost 40 advanced practice providers in a busy emergency department with over 80 something beds. And the thing that drove me the craziest the most when someone says, oh, I don't have time to eat, I just have to keep going. And I was like, what are you talking about? Because I also get hangry, like the Snickers commercial, if I don't 100%. Eat. So that's really not an option
toddler.
For me.
Yeah, it's a
right?
Toddler.
It's a toddler, but I know how to take care of the toddler, right? But it's this idea as nurses, we have to keep going. We can't take breaks. We can't take vacation. The day that we have off, if they call us for overtime, I feel bad for my team. So I have to go in. Or that extra X amount of money is what I need to propel me. But what is it that when you do go in and you're tired and you're exhausted and you're not giving your best, right? Again, the toddler comes out. And I think it's us realizing, like, wait a minute, maybe I do need to take the 20 minutes just to even talk to someone, just take a breath, would really just change how the rest of my day flows. And also, as an aside, as a nurse, it was super embarrassing to go out and eat socially because I'm so used to doing this, that when you're out, people are like, we just got the course. How are you done already? I was like, oh, you're not?
That is so funny.
I know other nurses must resonate because yes. It's like Thai food coming down. We got a call page. Like,
yes. Oh my gosh. That is so funny. Oh, I can totally see that happening. Yes, for sure. And I think one of the things that I listened to Tony Robbins, and like, one of the things he said one time was, he was like, you need to take 5 minutes for yourself to meditate. And he goes, and if you don't have 5 minutes, what kind of life are you living? Ooh. It was like such a statement. And I just remember stopping and just being like, he's 100% correct. If I don't even have 5 minutes,
5 minutes
in my life to sit down and deep breathe, what kind of life am I living? And again, if I can't take a month, 30 days to 30 spend days. out of my year of just working to listen, to hear, to rest, to recoup, again, what kind of life am I living? And I don't think we ever stop and think about it. I don't think we ever stop and think, I think I deserve rest. Like, and I actually believe that this rest will be restorative and bring me back to work even better. So you want me gone. You don't want me here. I want my toddler to nap. I miss him. The moment he's asleep, I'm like, oh man, I miss that kid. I want him to nap because when he doesn't, it's awful. So it's that same thing. It's so interesting that we accept these things in other areas of our lives, but for ourselves, we don't give ourselves the option to go, but I'm feeling a little toddler-like. I'm going to go take a 5-20 minute break during my day. And if I don't have 20 minutes during my day for me, I got to find another job. Like, I got to go find something else because I can't keep doing this. This is not acceptable. And when you set that in your mind, that this is not acceptable anymore, it changes everything. You begin to just go, this is the standard. You're not meeting it. You need to go. Like, you operate differently. You attract things differently. Now you're able to help other nurses do exactly what it is that you needed to do, which is something unique to you. And I think that's incredible. So for the preaching girl, I'm up on my soapbox. Somebody take me down because I'm up here. So tell me, and this is for the last part of the interview, we're going to do rapid fire. Okay. It's rapid fire. Ooh, you can't prepare for, but just fly by the seat of your pants. Just give me what you got, what comes to the surface, and what's your favorite holiday? We're coming off a lot of holidays, so I just thought I would ask.
Oh, what's my favorite holiday? I would say Christmas.
Christmas.
I think it's all the traditions, the family traditions. My family's from the Caribbean. There's certain foods and things that we eat, and it's just like,
it's just homey. Love it.
So homey.
And what's your favorite color?
Green.
Green. Like what kind of green? Like an emerald green? Like a Kelly green? Hunter green?
It's like a between a green and a blue. So it's like a kind of blue, like almost like a jade, which is kind of the color of like the nurse sabbatical because it's just so calming.
Oh, I love that. And if you had to give a gift to someone as a book, so you have to give somebody a book as a gift, which book is it? Oh, my light just went out. There it goes. It's back. Which book would you give?
Oh, I've read so many good books. Most recently, I would say this year, I would honestly say The Psychology of Money. I think that we are driven so much by money, like we need money in order to pay bills and live, etc., that we sometimes don't really understand its power. And if we have a better understanding of it, then we'll have a better way of using it to design the lifestyle that we love.
I love that because it's true. And there's a lot of trauma around money. There's a lot of generational crises around money. Yep. And so if you can break down what it is like your dysfunction is with money, I think you would learn a lot about yourself. I mean, even just in the time that I've been an adult, I've learned there's certain things about money that are triggers and things that are just, they're just tough. I think that's cool. I wrote it down, so I'm going to check it out.
Yeah, definitely.
Amy, thank you so much for your time today.
No problem. Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
Is there any like shameless plug you'd like to give so people can find you on all your social medias and all that jazz?
Sure. Definitely follow me on Instagram on The Nurse Sabbatical or Facebook The Nurse Sabbatical. Like I said, I am here to help inspire and support nurses take breaks so that they can do the work they love with ease and not stressed out. And we'll be launching a group coaching program. So please come find me, send me a DM. You can also email me as well. All of my information is on my blog as well. www.thenurseofbattle.com.
Fantastic. Guys, check her out. And as always, guys, enjoy the journey of your careers. Thanks for hanging out today.
So that's a wrap. Be sure to subscribe to the show so you don't miss an episode. And leave me a review if you like the show. I would love to get 5 stars. The Dr. Nurse Podcast is on the World Wide Web, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Patreon, and TikTok. Subscribe to my newsletter for updates on new podcast episodes and other information to help you on your own nursing journey. You can always message me at thedrnursepodcast@gmail.com with any career professions that you are interested in hearing about. And just a friendly reminder, the information on this podcast is for educational purposes only, and the information should not be used in substitute for professional care by a medical provider. The information in this podcast does not represent medical or professional advice or services. Mama, back. I love mama.